This is the story behind the story on NPR One. I'm Julian Ring. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly was walking through Iran's historic Grand Bazaar, filled with shops and stalls. She was in the capital, Tehran, on a reporting trip in February, and she was asking people to share their views on their government. But amid recent and brutal crackdowns, people were wary to talk to an American journalist.
You could feel the fear. You know, many people didn't want to talk to us. Many people looked around for cameras or, you know, lowered their voice or were visibly frightened.
You can hear that hesitation from the salesman talking through an interpreter.
What is he pointing to?
Saying there are lots of cameras here and I don't want to do an interview.
Do an interview.
Okay. The thinking is when you go to report from a place like Iran, you're not going to be able to see everything you want to see. You're not going to be able to talk to everybody you want to talk to. My attitude has always been, what's the alternative? Like, why not try? Isn't to glimpse something better than nothing? And what we know of what's happening in that country is through social media accounts, what people are able to get out, the little bits that Iranian journalists have been able to get out, but many of them have been arrested and not able to do their jobs fully. So we figured, let's go and just talk to everybody who'll talk to us. Ask what's on their minds. And so we spent a week going everywhere we could, street corners, parks, people's living rooms, restaurants, wherever, and just saying, what do you think about what's happening in your country? What do you want Americans to know? And then we listened.
Last September, there was an event that shook Iran. Protests ignited across the country in response to a young Kurdish-Iranian woman who died in police custody. NPR has closely followed the story.
Vahsa Amini, a 22-year-old woman, died in police custody after being arrested because her hijab was too loose. Amini was Kurdish, a marginalized community in Iran, and she was known to her friends and family by her Kurdish name, Gina.
It unleashed in Iran just a tsunami of fury. How could this happen to a young woman? How could that not break your heart?
For several days now, protests have spread in Iran. They're shouting, death to the dictator.
Videos posted online show Iranian schoolgirls chanting, death to the dictator and other slogans.
Women, freedom, life, chanted protesters in Farsi.
And we saw it in something like 150 cities and towns across Iran. Protests out in the streets. The very visible symbol of women taking their headscarves off. But others just out saying, please, you know, we need change. We want our voices to be heard.
What was the response of the government to this sort of groundswell of dissent?
It was a ferociously brutal response.
As NPR's Fatma Tanis reported, the protests were the biggest threat to Iran's authoritarian leaders in at least a decade. Tens of thousands of people have been jailed, and over 500 people have been killed, according to the group Human Rights Activists in Iran.
The government very much disputes these figures. While we were in Iran, we interviewed a senior official in Iran's government, the foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian. He says these numbers are wildly inflated by journalists and by the West, and so he disputes them. But again, it's you know, this is documented by human rights groups up to the United Nations Human Rights Office, that has been the response. And so the government has not completely quashed the protests, but made it clear that if you stand up and protest in the streets of Iran, there will be a massive price to pay.
So when you arrived in Iran, was it immediately apparent to you the situation on the ground? You know, scattered protests, but largely on the surface, things seem to have died down a little bit? Or did it take some digging and talking to people for that to really come out?
So I'll approach that with deep humility. I'm American. I don't speak Farsi. I was allowed in for 1 week and saw, you know, a tiny sliver of a huge and complicated country of 85 million people. So I'm fully aware that there's a whole lot I didn't get to see and document. We did not see protests in the street. We saw a country that looked calm on the surface. We interviewed people who support the regime, who I don't think were making it up just to tell me that. We talked to many who expressed frustration, if not disgust, with the government. And it was interesting the degree to which people were willing to be candid talking to an American reporter, putting a tape recorder in their face. Certainly the anger that fueled these protests is not gone, and yet people are having to make a calculation. Am I desperate enough and angry enough that I would risk everything to stand up and protest? Because that's the choice.
One night on her reporting trip, on the eve of the holiday that marks the 1979 revolution, Mary Louise heard fireworks in the distance. She and her team were working in their hotel room in Tehran.
Well, we knew that the government was planning a big fireworks show to kick things off on the eve of Revolution Day. And we heard the fireworks start to pop. And then one of my producers, I just remember her sitting across the table from me as we're working, and she cocked her head and said, "What are they saying?" And she stood up and ran and threw open the window of the hotel room, and we could hear voices through the dark with the fireworks exploding, the whole pro-government, go Revolution Day, pro-regime stuff happening. We could hear voices chanting, "Death to the dictator, death to Khamenei, freedom." And then in other parts of Tehran, we were able to verify there were pro-government calls answering the anti-government chants. So this whole chorus in the night. I was just watching, trying to see what other windows might be opening and closing and where these voices were coming from.
Did you see any other people investigating the sounds?
Nope.
No?
No. Could just see a quiet street, down below, but people in their apartments all around us and these voices echoing around the night and thinking, this is not the narrative that Iran's government has spent the last 5 months trying to promote, that everyone is on board and everything is calm and this country is normal and the protests are done. That was people very literally giving voice to the idea that these protests are not done.
Mm-hmm.